Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Trivia that I want to bring to you tonight as I start this lesson. This is just out of the box. It's trivia. Is the naming of Isaac and God named Isaac. Abraham did not name Isaac. God, in fact, in Genesis 17 and 19, when God told Abraham about him going to have a son, he said that you're going to name him Isaac, and we know that Isaac means laughter. The reason that I find the humor in this, and it's so super, super funny, is Sarah laughed in Genesis 18:15, and literally before the time that Sarah laughed, her mocking laugh, God already had said, and by the way, go ahead and name him Isaac. Go right ahead, name him Isaac, which means laughter. And she hadn't even laughed yet, but God knew she was going to laugh. God knew that that was coming. So he just went ahead and said, let's name him Isaac, okay? And you'll know why later, Abram, because she laughed. And we know that in the Hebrew there are two different types of laughter, and one is a joyful laughter of celebration, and one is a mocking laughter like, ha, ha, ha. You know, you really think that's true. It's a mocking, doubting laughter. So last week, by way of review, we talked about the fact that some things in God's word are not for revelation, they're for information. And they're not necessarily things that we should repeat or we should do. And one of the cases is in having multiple wives. God does report to us that there were multiple wives. There was going on polygamy in the Bible, but nowhere did God say that he endorsed such things. In fact, he told us the problems that came about because of that. So everything in the Bible is, and another case is, sometimes the Bible reports what people said, like in the case of Abram, saying that Sarah was his half-sister, but that was not the truth. That's just what Abram said. So the Bible's telling us he said this, didn't say it was true. And so we talked about that in the case of Abraham, who was an habitual liar, who admitted that he was an habitual liar, who repeatedly lied about Sarah, his wife, saying that she was his sister. He told Abimelech in last week's study that Sarah was his sister. Same lie he told Pharaoh in Egypt. And then Abram also told Abimelech, and by the way, like an add-on, like your sin will find you out or you'll tell on yourself. And by the way, Abimelech, everywhere we went, that's kind of the plan. We did that. We said that she was my sister everywhere. So he's basically, I admit that I'm a habitual liar over here. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Abram, that's you. And you owned it. So last week we read that Abram was trying to justify his lie by saying that Sarah was the son of his father, Terah, but not his mother. She was kind of like a half-sister. She was not. God did not call her a half-sister, a stepsister, a sister in the Lord, no sister at all. God called her Abraham's wife. And she was not the son of Terah either. Neither Terah nor God confirmed or ever said that that was the case. So, and do not be shocked that Abram made up this lie, because that's something he was rather good at, lying. So why be shocked that he made one up? So we discover his lie because Genesis is famous for something, and that is the recording of genealogies. But we talked about that last week. We went over that. But I found another verse in the middle of the week this week. I found another verse that confirms the lie. I had forgotten about this one last week, so I'm going to give this one to you now. This is two confirmations that Sarah was no sister. Genesis 20:3a says this, but God came to Abimelech in a dream and warned him that Sarah was Abraham's wife. And Abimelech was really terrified. God did not warn Abimelech that Sarah was Abraham's sister at all. Half-sister, nothing. God literally gave this man a dream, warning him and telling him in the dream, Sarah is the wife. And God knows how to say what he means. So God would not come to Abimelech in a dream and leave out any information. She was his wifey. And so this is confirmed once again when you go back to Genesis 11:31. Terah took his son Abram, his son grandson Lot, son of Haran, very specific here, and his daughter-in-law, very specific, not Abraham, Abraham's wife, not his sister, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldees, and then they came to the land to go to the land of Canaan, but when they came to Haran, they settled here. Last week we talked about God came with two angels. There were three of them that came. And I said to you last week, I love that God eats a meal because we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven and that we're instructed to receive communion right here on earth. But I want to call it a covenant meal because covenants are sealed by the celebration of a meal. And so they had a covenant meal because God was about to make a promise to Abraham, and a covenant is sealed with a meal. Genesis 18 and 10 lets us know specifically that one of these men is not just an angel, but he is Elohim, the Lord God Almighty. And he said, I will certainly return unto you. I'm gonna tell you about Abram now and Sarah, his not sister, but his wife. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, not your sister, will have a son. Gender reveal, no blue balloons. And Sarah heard it at the tent door, which was behind him. When this says that he will return again, the time of life, this is something very specific. When I started studying the Hebrew, this was so specific. Do you know what this actually means? It doesn't just mean I will restore your youth to you. It means I'm going to turn back time. How many of you know that God is the authority over all time and he can go backwards and forwards and that he can turn the clocks back? No, we don't have to turn the handle for him. That God operates on an eternal clock, one that we make no adjustments to, one that is very specific, but he is in charge of the clock. And this translation here means not just I will return the time of life as in make you young again, which was the case. I'm going to turn back time. I'm going to turn back time for you, and you will have a son. And Sarah heard it at the door. And you know, and I know that Sarah laughed. And the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I of surety bear a son which I am old? Now, this here is the mocking laugh. This is the, when God said this, Sarah laughed in herself, a ha, 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 a doubt and unbelief. You think, ha, ha. And the reason we know it, God did not just say, why did Sarah laugh and stop? He said, and why did Sarah laugh and say? God said, she said, shall I, it's a doubting laugh. Shall I surely bear a son when I am old? So Sarah did not just laugh. She laughed, and then she continued to say to herself, shall I surely, in other words, I don't believe that. I doubt you. And so, Sarah, you know, there's times when people will laugh with you, but there's times when people laugh at you. And basically, Sarah was laughing at this word. And really, in a way, she didn't realize it, but she was laughing at God. She laughed at something that God had just said. A very good, wonderful promise. God makes you a wonderful promise, and you go, ha, ha, ha. Oh, I'm sure that'll happen, all right. That is mocking. And, you know, so we're going to be talking tonight about how we're going to get right into this. Sarah has a stepson, Ishmael, and Abraham gave a great feast, a party, the day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, who they never should have had in the first place because they never should have went to Egypt in the first place. If you didn't go to Egypt, you wouldn't get Hagar as a gift, which Pharaoh gave Hagar as a gift, maidservants, men servants. So she saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, who was also the son of Abraham, mocking, whom the son was mocking, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. So she told Abraham to cast out this bondwoman and her son. She said these words, this son will not be an heir with my son Isaac. He's not going to get what belongs to my son. That's basically what she's saying here. Now, this sounds very harsh that she wants the bondwoman cast out, since Ishmael, I want to remind you, sweet Sarah, is only on this planet to begin with because of the wrong choices that you made, Sarah, in life. And so this is your doing, Sarah, and now in your trying to fix it, you're going to cast out Hagar and also this child, this son. Still, interestingly, this is where we have a plot twist here tonight, okay? So interestingly, God told Abraham to do exactly what Sarah had requested, to cast out the bondwoman and her son. Now, I always had a little bit of an issue with that, being putting myself in Hagar's place. Listen, I am an unwilling player in this game that you guys are playing. I came from Egypt. I didn't want to be here. I didn't ask to be here. First of all, the people in Egypt, the Pharaoh in Egypt, he did me wrong. He gave me to you. I didn't ask to come here. I didn't ask to sleep with your husband. And this is what happened to me. I didn't ask to get pregnant and have a son. And now, first of all, Sarah had treated him unfairly. And now she's going to do it even a second time. So I always kind of took up Hagar's case. And it seems so unfair, doesn't it? Why do you get cast out? Why do you got to go away? Why does your kid have to suffer because of this? So that could be us in some cases. So I want to say this, first of all. God is an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving. He's in it for the good of all of us, no matter who we are. Hagar, Sarah, Abram, all of us, Ishmael, Isaac. And he knows things that we don't know. And he sees the future that we do not see. And sometimes we forget this about God. And when God allows something to happen, or he does something that we absolutely do not understand, let me say this, it is always for the better purpose. It is always for the benefit also of all parties involved, even if we don't understand it. In this situation, this was for the benefit of Ishmael and Hagar. I see it now. As I study it now for the 100th time, I finally get it. Have you ever studied something so many times and you couldn't see it, you couldn't get it, and you still had those feelings of, God, this isn't fair, which it isn't fair for me to say that about God, this isn't fair in the first place, but I didn't see it and I didn't get it. But I want to tell you tonight, I see it. God was doing this to protect Ishmael. He was doing this. There was family problems. This was a dysfunctional family. This is not how families should be. And so sometimes God has to do things like this that we don't understand. He was doing it to protect Ishmael and probably to protect Isaac also. So sometimes, let me say it like this, sometimes what seems like rejection is protection. God's protection. You may feel like, I just got rejected by that guy. That guy don't want to date me. I got rejected. Sweetheart, that's God's protection. That is God's protection for you. Rejection can be protection. And you don't see it that way because you don't see the full picture, because you don't see what God sees. And sometimes God will allow people to walk away from you, to be removed from your life, to send them away from you, to pull them away from you, because that's for your protection and your benefit, because he sees something down the road. He anticipates trouble that you do not anticipate at all. And so God is aware of some things that we are not aware of. And our job is simply to trust him if that happens in your life and mine. So God knew this situation, this family was dysfunctional, and absolutely that it would not work for Ishmael and Hagar and Abram and Sarah and Isaac to all be in the land together right there, trying to be a family that never should have happened in the first place. And we see that a lot in the Bible. We'll talk about it later with some of the other patriarchs that I've already begun to study. But here's the thing. Sarah was always going to treat Isaac better. No doubt she was going to treat Isaac better. Ishmael did not have a chance in that home. And Hagar, she's going to always fight for Ishmael, isn't she? That's her son. And Abraham, poor, sad Abraham, he's in the middle. These are both his kids. And these are both, in a respect, his wives. This is not going to work. Somebody has to go. And God knew what he was doing. And sometimes we just need to let God be God. No matter how we feel about it, no matter how we perceive it or discern it, we need to let God be God. And remember how God told Abraham to leave his family? God does sometimes do this and have people leave. And you have to let it go. You have to let them go and trust God. So the first time Hagar ran away and God came and encountered her, because God always is for the one who is hurting. This time she's being sent away with her son. And truthfully, like I said, it never would have worked out. Ishmael's already mocking Isaac. And by the way, when Ishmael's mocking Isaac, it's not going to get any better if Ishmael sticks around, is it? And someday Isaac's going to learn to mock Ishmael, and this is going to be horrible. So Abraham sent Hagar away, and he gave her provision of bread and water, and she wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. But here's the thing. She ran out of provision and had no plan. She was broken, and Hagar had a hard life. She had a hard life. There's no doubt about it. And some of us have had hard lives and situations, but God. But God has always been there. She was the property of Pharaoh, given to Abraham the bond as the slave, the bondwoman, used by Sarah and Abraham for selfish purposes. And I want to say this, people are never to be used or abused, never. But here she is again, and now, for the first time, she is a single mom. There's no Abraham, there's no one but God, but God. And maybe there's people you know or you yourself have been in that position where you feel like you've been rejected, you've been asked to leave, but God. You're a single mom, you're a single father, whatever the case. And she was weeping. But God has a heart for single moms, for all moms. And she was crying, she was sobbing. And this word here is the same word that's used, Hagar's weeping, as when Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. She was weeping. And that means sobbing uncontrollably from the gut, from your heart. And so she was weeping. And so Jesus understood that. He understands our tears. He himself cried tears. And I've always loved to say it like this. You know, in the Bible, we see strong Jesus. We see Jesus the Savior. We see Jesus the healer. We see all-powerful Jesus. And when I got to emotional Jesus, I had a problem with it. But here's the thing. Tears are never, they're not, they don't equal weakness. They equal tenderness and compassion. And that's what Jesus had. And right here, Hagar is weeping uncontrollably, and Jesus, God, is going to come to her. But the Bible says that God heard her crying and also heard the cry of the boy also. And he said, lift him up and hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Now I'm going to give you the translation of lift him up and hold him in your hand. Lay hands on him. I want you to lay hands on the boy. I want you, because he's going to be something great. I want you to impart something to the boy, because he's going to be a great boy someday. He's going to have people that are going to serve him, and there's going to be so much in his life that I'm going to do. So lay hands on him. And God opened up Hagar's eyes, and wow, do I love this part. And she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave some to the boy. And the well was there all the time. Here's the thing. She had not seen the well. She was broke down. She was crying. But God had provided a well before she ever got to that place. The well was already there, but she couldn't see it. And sometimes we can't see that God has provided for us, but he has provided for us. And the first time she got water, it was from Abraham. Remember, Abraham sent her out with water and food. But this time, she's getting water from a well of the Lord that God put there. So she's getting water from a different source. And I love that about Hagar, because, you know, sometimes we think that our water and our bread, it's got to come from Abraham. It's got to come from a man, or it's got to come from some other place on the earth, but it doesn't. It comes from God. And so she saw the well that she had not seen before, and God is giving her water from a well. But not only that, it's a water in the wilderness. How many of you know that there's not many wells in the wilderness out there? But God can make a well in the wilderness, and he can provide, he can quench your thirst if you're going through a wilderness time in your journey in life. And she probably didn't see it, because she was crying that God had provided for her, made provision. So whatever you face in the future, if you feel rejected and you're out there wandering in the desert of Beersheba, God has already made provision for you. Living water, living water. And there's another part of the story that is taking place at the same time, simultaneously, that this is happening. And it came to pass at that time, which means at the same time that Hagar was taking a wife for Ishmael. Now, this is jumping ahead a little. She's taking a wife for Ishmael from Egypt, which, by the way, is as life should be, because that's where she came from, Egypt, right? So she goes back home to Egypt to take a wife for her son. And at the same time, the Bible says in verse 22 that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spoke to Abram and said, God is with you in all you do. Okay, Hagar and Ishmael are gone. She's getting a wife. She's going on with her life now, and that's as it should be. This is because now God can work with Abraham. And the chief spoke to Abraham and said, God is with you in all of this. I love this, because Abimelech, recognizes the favor of God on Abraham's life. He said, I know God is with you in all you do. Do you know when God is with you, God is for you, God is with you, that the world can see that? They see the favor of God on your life. Have you ever had somebody say, why are you so blessed? Why do you hear from God? Abimelech seen that about Abraham, even in his mistakes. And I pray that's the same with you, that God's favor follows you. I love that song. If you haven't heard Maverick City, bless me, just see Dave. He'll play it for you. It is an amazing song. Let all your favor be on me. Lord, bless me, till I'm the conversation of all my enemies. Yes, bless me. So verse 23 continues to say, now therefore promise me, this is Abimelech speaking, by the way. I want you to know that. Abimelech says, Abraham, God is with you in all you do. Now, Abimelech and Abraham, you know, last week they had some trouble because of the Sarah situation. Abimelech, you know, they lied again. Remember how they lied to Abimelech this time? And Abimelech had the dream. She's the wife. Now, this is Abimelech telling Abram, but I still can see that God is with you. And the next verse says, now therefore, and this is going to get funny, by the way, therefore promise me, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me. Now, I have to stop here. Why did Abimelech say, do not deal falsely with me? Because he had just lied. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Abimelech is wanting, he's wanting to have a relationship with Abraham here. But he has to remind him, stop lying to me, Abraham. And he says it right here. I thought this was so cool. I picked up on it last night. God, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me. Don't trick me again. Don't lie to me again. You did this once. Now you're going to promise me before your God that you're going to deal righteously with me and not deal falsely with me. And I thought it was so funny when I got that, because it just wasn't long ago that he was dealing falsely with Abimelech. And that's pretty sad when the world has to call us out like that. Don't deal falsely with me, he says, and don't deal falsely with my son or my grandsons. But Abraham, I want you to show kindness to me, because you know what, Abraham, he said, as I have done to you, I showed you kindness. You lied to me. You almost got me in trouble with your God. So now I'm telling you, stop the lying. And why don't you be nice to me like I'm nice to you? That's what he was saying. Isn't that kind of cool that he's trying to call him out? And Abraham said, I will do that. I will swear. I promise you. No more lying. No more dealing falsely with you. Finally, Abraham learns, I think I better tell the truth. I think I better tell the truth. It's time to tell the truth. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. Now, I want to tell you something about that. That wasn't just Abraham saying, well, okay, now you called me out on the lying, so now I got something to say about the well that your servants had. That's not that at all. That gave, when Abimelech said that to Abraham, that gave Abraham an open door to say, we also have another problem, and we need to deal with this problem too. My lying was a problem, of course, but now we also have this other well. And here's what Abimelech said. Because Abimelech, by the way, even though he was not a believer yet, here's what he was. He was a man of integrity. He was a good leader, by the way, because he told Abraham this. And it was the truth, by the way. He said, Abram, I did not know about this well situation, and neither did you tell me. I like this part, too. And you did not tell me before about this. He said these words in verse 26. This is the first time I'm hearing of this. Let me read it to you in verse 26. And Abimelech said, I did not know who had done this thing. Neither did you tell me. Neither did I hear of it until today. So Abram finally has an opportunity to tell him, but he should have told him before, but he couldn't because he's kind of a liar. And so this gave them, now we're all telling the truth, and we're all getting some things worked out that need to be worked out. And I like that. That's how relationships should be. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. Now you can come into covenant agreement when we're both going to live righteously. We're both going to do what's right. We're going to do what's honorable. And so they made a covenant between them, and Abram set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Now, let me tell you why he gave 7 ewe lambs. Because there's a lamb for us 7 days a week. 7 days a week, covenant lamb. God has provided a lamb for us, provision for 7 days a week. There were 7 days. And so a covenant means perfection, and Jesus is the perfection of the covenant, the Lamb of God. So this is why Abram did this, and Abimelech said to Abraham, what means these 7 ewes that you have separated by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewes I'm giving for you to receive of my hand. Receive these lambs, that they may be a witness that I have dug the well, that this is my well, this water's coming from my well. Wherefore he called the place of Beersheba, because that's where they made the promise between each of them. And Abraham planted a garden there in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And he stayed in the Philistine land for many days. We are supposed to do our best to get along with other people. And Abraham was not doing his best, was he? But things changed. And we can see as we study the patriarchs how they were not perfect. And I love that God does not leave out the good, the bad, or the ugly, because it helps us to relate to these people. Maybe we didn't start out well. Maybe we made some mistakes that affected our lives adversely and that even affected other people's lives. But that doesn't mean that, Abraham, you can't change. You can't stop the lying. You can't stop the fooling around. Whatever you're doing, you can stop it and you can start over, and even other people into your life. And so Abimelech and Abraham, they're going to be together for a while. And I like that they're able to do that. And chapter 22, we're just going to touch very, very, just for a couple minutes here. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and Abraham said, behold, here I am. And that is absolutely the correct response when God calls us, is to say, here I am. And I want to talk to you about that, because we have to talk about the word tempt. There are translations that use the word tempt, and the word tempt is incorrect. What this should read is this, which most translations have adjusted this to say, and it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said to him, and I'm going to explain it to you, and said to Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. The word tempt is incorrect, because to tempt is what the enemy does. God will not, in fact, tempt us, because the word tempt is the word that is used to seduce or to trick us. And God will never do this. The enemy tempts us, but God tests us. The enemy tempts us to try to seduce us, trick us, trap us, in order that we may fall, fail, or get caught in sin. But God tests us, and the test is to see where we're at, is to measure our knowledge, our skill, and to prove us, to test us. So God was going to test Abram to prove. Now, God tests us so that we can also be strengthened. Every test you come through, after you come through it, you have an extra measure of strength that I made it through. He tests us because he wants us to excel. He wants us to achieve, become strengthened. And God absolutely tests us and wants us to pass the test in life. Tony Pessina is a teacher. I do not think that he gives children a test and he is hoping they will fail the test. It is actually a bad reflection on the one who gave the test, isn't it? If the student fails many, many times. Nor does he tempt them and put tricks on the test purposefully that they would not know. He gives them the information and then he tests them. So we're going to see how God tested Abram. Did God know? I want to ask you the question. We're going to wind this down tonight as our praise team comes. But did God know that Abraham would pass this test? Was God testing him to see, like we test people and see if they'll? No, God absolutely knew. He is an all-knowing God. He's omnipresent, and he's everywhere, and he's omnipotent, all-powerful. God knows everything. God tested Abraham so that Abraham would know where he's at. You know, there is a difference. God knew that Abraham would pass the test. And part of the test was simple. It was just respond to me. Here I am. Okay, God, I'm here. Basically, I'll do what you say. That part of the test was simple. But how many of you know that God allows sometimes tests? It seems like we go through harder tests at times. We went through the little stuff, but now we're going to go through something harder. Now God's got to see how we will I'm going to use a personal example that God, you know, there are little tests you go through. You know, can you be truthful when it's hard? Can you give when it's hard to give? God will give us tests like that. But God wants, sometimes he allows tests in our life, like maybe he'll take a loved one home because it's their time to go home. And that's a test for us. Whether we want to admit it or not, that's a test. Are we still going to praise God? Do we still love God and honor God? That's a harder test, isn't it, to continue on? And some of us have been through that test. But we are going to be found faithful, and God knows we are. But every test we go through, it helps strengthen us. And to say, I have went through a test and say, you know what, God, I can go through that now. There was a time in my life when, I had a relative, and you already know, some of you, that would continually leave for months at a time, just leave, just not go around. And it would just crush me. It would just crush me, crush me, crush me. And I would be like, God, where are you at? And I don't understand this. And why? And cry, 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 and all of the above. But now I can go through that test and I can say, but you are God. And God, you have your reasons. You haven't caused it, but you have allowed it. And God, there's reasons in it. No matter, just as in this situation that Ishmael had to go, I don't understand why, but I know that we can pass the test. So I want to say we're going to talk next week about Isaac, who is a type of Christ, and it's going to be so, so beautiful and wonderful because of how Abraham responds when he's given the hardest test of his life, is to lay down his son on an altar. And can I say something to you tonight? To any of you who have children, if you have children, that will be the hardest test of your life, is to lay your child on the altar and say, Lord, this child belongs to you. This child does not belong to me. I remember the day Sandra got married, and I remember Dave Mahalski and I each had the honor of giving a speech. And in my speech, I never will forget some of the things that God had me say that day. And in releasing Sandra to be with Dan, and Dave and I releasing Sandra to be with Dan, and one of the things I said is, this is a wonderful, beautiful covenant day. However, I'm letting something go today. I'm giving you away because you were never mine in the first place. For God to use you through the covenant of marriage, through the bearing of children, today's that day. It is a test, and I will continue serving God, and I will pray for you all the days of your life that you and your family will serve God. So we're going to pass the test, aren't we? In Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.